out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've gone into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds ahead of another race weekend. This weekend, of course, back in Turkey, Istanbul for the Grand Prix. And it's not a bad circuit, Turkey. It's got a few decent corners in it, and it can have a few little exciting moments in it.
Yeah, good track for overtaking towards the start and the end of the lap. And we've got that really sort of really fast, flat-out left-hander with the triple apex, which is like a 50 pence coin. That's always exciting. So I quite like the Turkey circuit. And we hear ahead of the weekend that it's Mercedes that may be taking an engine penalty for Hamilton, which would mean he'd start at the back of the grid. So obviously, they will only do that at a track they think they can overtake on, because they want to be like in Russia. If Hamilton starts from the back, they want things to happen that mean he can finish as high up as he possibly can for the world championship fight.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because we spoke about this and we said, you know, Red Bull are obviously looking at taking their engine penalty at the best circuit they can think of. And obviously we were speculating whether it would be at Russia or not. And of course, both teams are hoping that the other one, when they take their engine penalty, has some other issues and can't get through the field. Obviously, in the Red Bull case, he ended up finishing second in that race, didn't he? So like worst case scenario for Mercedes and Hamilton, really, when it was a nice chance for them to stretch their legs a bit and gain a bit of a gap in the world championship. And Verstappen comes in and finishes second. So obviously they're hoping they can do the same the other way around, if not finishing first, at least second, so they can match what Verstappen did if they do their engine change. But yeah, be exciting. I mean, the good thing is when they have these fast cars at the back, we found this out in Russia, didn't we? When you have a few fast cars that have changed an engine or a gearbox and they're at the back of the field and they're fighting their way through, get lots of exciting overtakes, lots of exciting racing. So hopefully, if that does happen, we will get another exciting race from the back from Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. It's always nice, I think, when cars were out of position, which we saw a lot in Russia because, you know, Bottas took the engine penalty there, didn't he? So he was well down the order. Max obviously starting from the back. And it was a really mixed up grid, you know, with Lando Norris putting it on pole position in Russia. The McLaren driver, by the way, has been talking this week about how he was suffering with lots of mental health issues in his first season in Formula One, mainly because he was convinced he wasn't going to get renewed and he thought he was going to get dropped by the team, and he was worried about every performance not being 100% perfect and basically looking over his shoulder constantly. He says it was only in his second season when he kind of settled down and went, right, I'm here, I've deserved to be here, and this is how we do things, you know. So I thought that was quite interesting, because you look at Formula One drivers and you think it's kind of a macho sport, isn't it? And no one really opens up that much. But Norris doing that, I think, is good.
Yeah, and we've mentioned before, haven't we, the pressure. You know, you can tell when Bottas is a great example. This season, he's signed with Alfa Romeo for next year. He's got a multi-year deal. He's going to be the team leader next year. Everything he hasn't got with Mercedes, he's now got with Alfa Romeo. Now, albeit they're one of the lower down teams, but he's obviously relishing the chance to work his way up the field and fight up the field and make that car a better car and act as team leader, which he obviously isn't at the moment. But the pressure, you know, the minute they announced that move, and you could sort of almost visibly see the pressure coming off his shoulders from Mercedes. And, you know, particularly to have a teammate like Hamilton, who's a multi-time world champion, you know, a lot of people saying the greatest of all time. On paper, really, he is the greatest of all time. The only driver to do 100 Grand Prix. You know, he's qualified over 100 times as well. He's got 4,500 career points. I think the next place down, by the way, is like 3,000 points, and that's Vettel. So when you look at, you know, and obviously the point system has changed over the years. They've, you know, they've used to be like 12 points for a win, didn't it, back in the Senna days, but it's now 25, obviously. So that's changed. But to see that sort of gap from 3,000 to 4,500 point-wise, you know, Hamilton is just breaking all the records. And if he carries on for another couple of seasons, which is my understanding he will do, you know, he's literally going to leave a trail of records to be broken. And a lot of those, I'm not sure we'll ever see broken in our lifetime. So imagine being his teammate. Imagine being Bottas and having to drive alongside that going, well, what can I do here? I can't beat this guy. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that will mean records are broken set by Hamilton is a really young driver coming in. So, you know, Hamilton was quite a late starter, wasn't he? He was 21 when he join Formula One. But you've got, you know, some of them, like Max Verstappen, for instance, 18 when he started in Formula One. So if he was in a brilliantly dominating car, then there is a chance that he could break lots of records if he has a career as long as Hamilton's. But of course, Hamilton's had the luxury of being in the fastest car all the time.
Yeah, and when you look at the, you know, the turbo hybrid era and you look at the win ratio and the podiums and stuff like that, Mercedes have absolutely nailed this era. And obviously before that, we had 4 years of Red Bull dominating everything. And it's funny, isn't it, how you go through these different eras. We had the Ferrari era, of course, from sort of 2000 to 2004, where they dominated everything. And we've had these eras where certain teams will go for 4 or 5 seasons and just win everything. But yeah, the Mercedes team just dominated this era.
Yeah, they really did. And next year, of course, with the rule changes, you know, are Mercedes going to continue to dominate, or is it going to be the turn of a completely different team to lead the pack with the rule changes? Notice Alonso was saying this week that the legendary drivers, or the drivers with lots of experience and pedigree like him and Lewis Hamilton, will not have the advantage going into the rule changes. He said it's the way the cars will drive is completely different to anything they've ever experienced before. Lando Norris was in a simulator this week with the 2022 car and came out and said, you know what, it's just not as nice to drive as this year's car. So it's a massive change for all of them to get to grips with. And I think the first few races of next season are going to really sort out from the men for the boys.
Yeah, and of course, like you say, that, you know, the cars are going to be, it's a pretty much level playing field, isn't it? They've had a few years, and of course, because of Corona, they've had an extra year, really, to kind of look at the rules and look at the rule changes and what they can do. So most teams are going to get it roughly right, I assume. And I'm going to guess that it's going to be pretty much as it is now in terms of, I think Mercedes and Red Bull and Ferrari are all going to be up there. I think McLaren will be up there as well. But I think what will happen is you'll get teams maybe like, you know, Alfa Romeo or Williams that will kind of be up there as well in the upper mid teams. So I think it will kind of make it much more open, and you'll get potentially much more opportunity for different teams to win, which is good. And I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, you're right. It's a free for all, isn't it? Whenever we get these amazing rule changes in Formula One, there's always a new team that emerges great. I mean, you look back at when Hamilton signed for Mercedes, I think it was 2013, wasn't it? Everyone was kind of like, what's he doing? You know, why is he signing with Mercedes? It's very similar to like now with Bottas signing with Alfa Romeo, and everyone's kind of like, well, I can see why he's doing it, because he's going to go in as team leader and he's going to lead that project. But yeah, the Alfa Romeo is not great. They're always at the back. That's what we're thinking at the moment. But for all we know, next year, Alfa Romeo could be in the top three teams and Bottas could be sitting there with a little smirk on his face going, well, I made the right move here. You just never know, dear. There's a lot of luck in these moves that they make.
Yeah, there really is. Let's look ahead to next year then in a little bit more detail, because they've announced there's going to be 23 races next year, but the calendar is going to be shorter than ever before. So it's going to start in mid-March and it's going to end in mid-November, which means more back-to-back races, which I approve of. I think that's great. And the reason they're finishing the season early, and it's the earliest they'll have finished it since 2010, by the way, is because of the World Cup being held over the winter in Qatar. And as we've seen from the addition of the Qatar track to this year's calendar, they've signed a 10-year deal. That means 3 races in the Middle East now. So you're going to have Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi in this year's calendar and next year's, and for the foreseeable future as well. But I think those closely fought back-to-back races will make it even more exciting next year.
Yeah, I did see some stuff as well about potentially the owners of Formula One at the moment are getting a little bit bored, and it's not kind of what they wanted or where they wanted it to be. And there's some hints that they might sell up in the future. And I think I read a few things about some Saudi people who are interested in buying Formula One out as an entity as well, which obviously would mean a lot more Far East races and Middle East races. But I don't know. How do you feel about this? Because it's obviously the heat is going to affect the cars dramatically. There's obviously a lot of sand and dust and stuff like that, but the heat is the main thing, isn't it, for the engines? And, you know, we've traditionally always had loads of races in Europe, and there's never really been that many in America or in places like the Middle East. We might have the odd race or whatever, but to have sort of 3 or 4 races, it's going to make it quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And there's been some rumours that they're thinking of going back to South Africa, which would be great, because it's really the only continent that's not represented in Formula One as a world championship. So that would make perfect sense to me. I think they're still working out apparently the logistics of 23 races in a condensed calendar next year, because obviously teams and the FIA have got to move their kit between circuits, and it's all very complicated. I think most teams have 3 sets of kit, don't they? And they're continually moving around the world. So some's on a container ship, some is flown in, but they're always logistically planning ahead so that they know that they've got the right equipment in the right location at the right time. And obviously that all needs looking at for next year.
Yeah, something else I saw as well that might potentially be happening next year, they might be going back to the silver Mercedes because obviously it's been a black car for the last couple of years for the Black Lives Matter. And Hamilton himself said, you know, he wouldn't be against it going back to silver. It's nice to have a bit of a change. Obviously, the kind of background behind the Black Lives Matter would continue on and they would continue to do all the work behind the scenes, but they might go back to being the silver arrows, which is what the Mercedes was known for. I'm kind of used to it being a black car now as well. It'd be quite strange if it went back to silver, I think.
Yeah, it would, and it looks as though from the majority of the grid, you know, when we come to the revealing of the new cars next year, not many of them are going to radically change, are they? Because they've all got long-term sponsorship deals, so the Alpine's going to stay the same. The Aston Martin, obviously, is going to continue to be racing green. So unlike last year, where we had some radical new colours and designs and liveries, it's just not going to happen next year, although the cars will all look radically different because of the rule changes. And the interesting thing as well is that even though they're doing 23 races in a very short period of time next year, they're still imposing the 3-engine power unit rule, which means that without a shadow of a doubt, there'll be lots of teams and drivers taking penalties next year.
Yeah, and again, I go back to what I'm saying about the Middle East with the heat and the dust that they have, you know, sand getting in the engines, the heat of those countries with those engines. It's going to put a lot of strain on those engines. And 3 engines across 23 races is not a lot, is it? So you would think, you know, I would think in my head 4 or 5 at least. But yeah, if it's 3 engines, you know, that is going to cause a lot of issues next year. Some would say that's exciting because, you know, look at this year, we've got Hamilton who needs to take an engine change. You know, Verstappen's already done it and that spiced up some races. So some would say that that actually helps and would make the racing a bit different next year.
Yeah, the interesting thing from this year, though, with Max Verstappen was that the reason he had to replace his engine was because the one he would have used for the rest of the season was the one that was damaged in the crash at Silverstone, which was caused by Lewis Hamilton. So Hamilton took the blame for that, got a 10-second penalty. That's all he got. And Max Verstappen had to take a start at the back of the grid in Russia because he had to change the engine based on damage, you know. So it's a bit weird the way that's worked out.
Yeah, and should there be a more severe penalty for something like that? You know, if you cause an accident or if you're involved in an accident where another driver has to change that engine because, you know, they're not sure. And I mean, these engines are so incredibly complex. And they say quite often, don't they? Oh, do you remember when it was Leclerc, wasn't it? When he went out and qualified in Monaco and they were like, we think the car's okay. We're not sure, but we think it's okay. And then obviously by the start of the race, there was issues and they had to retire the car and retire the engine. But there's so many parts to these engine that they just don't, you know, they're not the easiest thing in the world. You know, you can't just lift the bonnet and go, yeah, let's change this screw or let's change this or whatever. You know, a lot of them are hidden away underneath the car and there's so many parts to these engines. So, yeah, like you say, it's if you're involved in an accident, 9 times out of 10, that's going to affect the engine, I think.
Yeah, without a doubt. So Nicky has some stats ahead of this weekend's Turkish Grand Prix. You can follow his blog at Lights Out on Twitter. And here he is with the stats.
Hamilton could equal the record for most Turkish Grand Prix wins. Alonso could extend the Istanbul podium record. And there's mixed stats for this weekend's pole sitter. Here are the statistics to look out for at the 2021 Turkish Grand Prix. First up, last year's race winner Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton clinched his 7th title at Istanbul Park in 2020. And while the close championship battle means that he can't secure the title this weekend, he could equal the record for most wins at the Turkish Grand Prix. Felipe Massa currently holds the record for most victories in Turkey, with 3 wins. He won every year from 2006 to 2008. Hamilton has 2 previous wins in 2010 and 2020. A victory for Hamilton this weekend would also make him only the 2nd driver after Massa to have won the Turkish Grand Prix in 2 consecutive seasons. Talking of consecutive successes, Massa is also the only driver to take consecutive pole positions at the circuit. Lance Stroll could join that exclusive club this weekend, while his Aston Martin teammate Sebastian Vettel could equal Massa as the driver with the most overall poles at the track. Massa's record is 3, while Vettel has taken pole in Turkey twice previously, in 2009 and 2011. Back to Hamilton next, and he can extend his record for most circuits at which a driver has taken pole position. Hamilton has taken pole at 30 different circuits so far in his Formula One career, but he's yet to set the fastest Saturday time at Istanbul Park. Meanwhile, if he wins and sets the fastest lap, Hamilton will become the first driver to have scored 100 points at the Turkish Grand Prix. And finally, Turkey is developing a little bit of a curse for its pole sitter. While every Turkish Grand Prix pole sitter except Lance Stroll has gone on to finish on the podium, the pole sitter at this race has gone on to win the title in the same season only once from the previous 8 times that the race has been held. The exception is Sebastian Vettel, who took pole in 2011 and went on to win the title later that year. In better news for this weekend's pole sitter, there have been 3 previous races held on October the 10th, the 1976 United States Grand Prix, the 2004 Japanese Grand Prix, and the 2010 Japanese Grand Prix. In all 3 of those races, the driver who started from pole went on to win the race and claimed the Drivers' Championship title later in the season.
Nice one, Nicky. You can find more stats and facts across all the race weekends. Got some brilliant stuff, as always, on his blogs and on his Twitter page. At Lights Out is where you can find him. So this weekend, Turkish Grand Prix, Istanbul. I have a funny feeling that the Red Bulls are going to bounce back this weekend. I think Max Verstappen's going to get a win. I'm going to say he's going to get a pole as well, a pole and a win. And I think Perez is going to be on the podium this weekend as well. Now, particularly if Hamilton does take an engine penalty and starts at the back, I think if he makes it to the podium, he's done very well. It'd be fascinating if he gets to second place and Verstappen wins the race. So it's the reverse of the last race. That would be interesting as well, because there's still, you know, well over 100 points left. There's what, 7 races left now? So still, I think there's about 182 points potentially if they get the fastest lap and the win in all the races. So there's a lot of points still remaining, but it's going to be an exciting end to this season without a doubt.
Yeah, the interesting one for me is if Hamilton takes the engine penalty, starts from the back. Obviously, Bottas has already replaced his power unit, so he's going to start fairly well up the grid, probably on the front row or second row, we would expect. How likely is Bottas going to be when it comes to letting Hamilton pass? We saw in Russia that he literally went out of his way to let Max Verstappen pass. But is he going to be just as kind to Hamilton? Because, you know, the sense of freedom that Bottas has got since he's been released by Mercedes is one thing. We've seen him more relaxed in the car and perform much better. But also there's got to be some anger there as well. Is he going to hold up his teammate when he's fighting for the world championship? It'll be really interesting to find out.
Yeah, and can they punish him? I mean, obviously, financially, they could. They could give him, you know, a financial penalty for not playing ball and not letting Hamilton through if they can prove that he didn't play ball, I mean. But other than that, is there a penalty for not letting him through? Because he's leaving the team next year. He's the number 2 driver as it is. He's literally there to help Hamilton win the title and to help the team win the constructors now. So it's going to be interesting, like you say, because if he doesn't let Hamilton through after letting Max through, so obviously in the last race, that's a big statement, I think, from Bottas.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, if you look at Bottas, if Bottas wins this race this weekend, it makes no real difference to the points because he's so far behind. He's on 151 points, Max Verstappen 244.5, and Lewis 2 points ahead of that. So having Mercedes let him win the race doesn't really mean much, although it will increase their gap in the Constructors' Championship, of course. So it'll be interesting. I think you're right. I think Max Verstappen on the podium. I also think a McLaren on the podium and probably a Mercedes as well, whether that's Bottas or Hamilton, remains to be seen. But it's going to be an exciting weekend at a pretty decent track.
Yeah, it feels like forever since we had a race. It's only been a couple of weeks, but it genuinely feels like months since I last watched a Formula One race. So very excited for this weekend. Very excited for the Turkish Grand Prix.
Join us next week when we'll review all the action from Istanbul Park. In the meantime, look out for the race, enjoy it and have fun.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.